The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Ethos Lakers podcast. I'm your host for this solo edition at JC DeLeon. You can see my name there on the screen. You can follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Ethos Lakers. You can follow me on the same platforms at JC DeLeon 1. The playoffs are pretty much here. The Lakers have found themselves in the ninth seed. They have two games left versus the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans doesn't look like they're going to drop anywhere out of that sixth seed. Suns are pretty much, everybody's pretty much cemented where they're at, with the exception of the Lakers. They could finish at 9 where they're currently at, or they could finish at 10. The good thing is they're not going to fall to 11. So the Lakers are in the play-in again. This is where the Lakers find themselves. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, the Lakers certainly underachieved. The last time I spoke to you guys, I brought up the word perspective. And right as I said that, the Lakers won 5 of 6 games in a road trip, which I predicted. I didn't predict them beating Milwaukee without LeBron and AD, but they did win 5 out of 6 games in that road trip. They won 8 out of 9 games at one point, and it looked like the sixth seed could be a slight possibility. And since then, the Lakers have taken a little bit of a dip. And I think the reason why they took that dip is because they realized that the sixth seed was an improbability. It'd be nice to finish in 7th or 8th, but that also seemed unlikely due to the fact that, you know, the Suns kept winning, the Kings kept winning, New Orleans kept, like, everybody kept winning, including the Lakers. And then at some point, I think it dawned on the Lakers that they just were not going to get up to that 6 or 7 seed, that they were going to stay in 9th or 10th. And I think they have resigned themselves to the fact that they're going to have to win 2 road games in the play-in for the privilege of playing in the first round versus the Denver Nuggets. Now, positives, negatives. I think the Lakers match up pretty well against the Warriors. And I say this on the heels of a loss that the Lakers had to the Warriors, in which the Warriors made 26 threes, I believe, if not more than that. It was a season high for them. I looked at it and said, well, better the Warriors shoot like this now than in the play-in. And I maintain that. If, you know, the Lakers have matched up pretty well with the Warriors, I think when Anthony Davis and LeBron James are healthy, when this team is fully healthy, They match up well with the Lakers, or they match up well with the Warriors, who tend to play pretty small. Beyond that, you face the winner, or you face the loser of the 7-8 game, which I think presumably might be Sacramento, and that could be tough because Sacramento is a young, fast team, and then you play the Nuggets. Safe to say that at this point, not because of the capability of the team, not because of the structure of the roster, simply because of the situation the Lakers find themselves in and the amount of pressure they find themselves in, I think it's time to face reality and say that I am not expecting a deep run from this Lakers team. I think it's another wasted year of LeBron playing incredibly great, and that's super frustrating. The only positive to that being that he had such a great year this year, it's not as if, you know, it's not as if he's not capable of playing like this again next year. But, I mean, at his age, you can't really rely on next year, despite the fact that he played so great this year, and he's not really showing much of a drop-off at all. But he himself has said there's not much time left in his career, despite how great he's been playing. And so you gotta capitalize on him playing the way that he has been. Now, one thing I've noticed, since he's got this new podcast with J.J. Redick called Mind the Game, in which him and J.J. Redick just, they talk specifically about the very nerdy ins and outs of basketball, and they use the language that these NBA players talk to each other in practice and in games that they don't really speak to fans in. And this language has been very good in kind of teaching people the ins and outs of the game. But I also think it's been sort of cathartic for LeBron to sort of mentally feel his way out of the season. Since this podcast has launched, I've noticed that LeBron has been playing a little bit better because he's been playing a little bit smarter. And it's certainly not to say that he wasn't playing smart before, but he's just sort of unlocked his mind into, you know, what he's truly capable of with this team. And so, you know, I think the Lakers can get out of the play-in. Two road games is going to be tough, but they're certainly capable of it. If they play like they did when they won the in-season tournament, that's great. I think there are things that the Lakers need to manage better. If you follow Trevor Lane on Twitter of Lakers Nation, Trevor did a really good job of posting today on a thread, you know, some of the lineups that play pretty well. And like Max Christie has proven to be a very effective plus-minus player for this team, and he gets almost no minutes. He plays behind Torian Prince. He plays behind Cam Reddish. I believe when there's a three-guard lineup of Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, and Max Christie, and we all know that Darvin Ham loves three-guard lineups, that lineup is, you know, plus 4.4 points, which is huge. Spencer Dinwiddie has been a good defensive player. The rotations have been garbage, which leads us to our big piece of news that the Lakers have. And this isn't news in the sense of actual factual things that people can say tangentially are happening. It's, you know, NBA narrative news. Something that Mind the Game really doesn't like, but it's the sort of thing that gets attention and the sort of thing that gets clicks and the sort of thing that gets people talking, and it is an important talking point. So we all know that at one point, Darvin Ham, whether or not he was on the hot seat, I know at some point the fans and the media were certainly clamoring for Darvin Ham to be fired. And one of the first pieces of rumors that we got out is there's a report from an anonymous source that the Lakers wanted Darvin Ham fired, the players wanted Darvin Ham fired, and they wanted Phil Handy to take the interim spot. Via HoopsWire, a source told HoopsWire that Lakers players wanted assistant coach Phil Handy to replace Ham earlier this season. This is courtesy of Ashish Mathur. However, Los Angeles owner Jeannie Buss is a fan of Ham, and she has never thought about firing him as a coach, the source said. LeBron James, arguably the greatest player in history, has ignored Ham in many huddles this season and communicated with Handy instead on what the Lakers should run. And LeBron has actually said this as much on the Mind the Game podcast. The first episode talked about the 21-point comeback versus the Clippers. And LeBron specifically talked about how he vetoed the plan, presumably the plan from Darvin Ham, to double Kawhi. And LeBron said, we're not going to double Kawhi. They knuckled down and they played really intense defense. And I got to say, if the Lakers don't have a deep run, and I mean, honestly, I think even if the Lakers do have a deep run, LeBron, I think, is still capable. And this isn't me saying LeBron is a coach killer. Like, Darvin Ham is incompetent. The proof is in the analytical statistics that certain rotations play much better that Darvin Ham just is simply ignored throughout the season. And I think the players see this. LeBron sees this. Austin Reeves was benched 8 games into the season. And we all knew he was going to have a slow start to the season because of the way he played for USA Basketball. He was given a window of 8 games, and then he was benched. And yeah, he played pretty well at the bench, but I think now Austin Reeves is playing insanely great basketball. And yeah, we all wanted Rui to be a starter, and since Rui has been a starter, the Lakers have won 64% of their games. If they maintained a 64% win rate throughout the season, they would currently be a 4 seed. They would currently be a 4 seed that would bump. That would bump the Clippers down to 5. That would put the Warriors at 10. Basically, yeah, you'd be playing right behind OKC if you were winning 64% of your games. And you'd have a 4-5 matchup versus the Clippers, which would be an entertaining series and one that I think the Lakers would easily win. But that didn't happen. And, I mean, one of the frustrating things about Darvin Ham, not aside from his rotations, aside from the fact that he loves 3-guard lineups, is his quotes, man. In January, he had a quote saying he hates the fact that fans live and die with every game. But man, if you'd have just played a smarter rotation for a few more games, you wouldn't be in a situation where you have to win 2 road games just to get into the playoffs to play the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Like, that's on you, man. And his quotes are especially frustrating. Darvin Ham, from this quote from this article in Lakers Nation, Darvin Ham expects the Lakers to make best of the quote tough situation they put themselves in, not the tough situation that Ham put them in, the tough situation that the players put themselves in. It's frustrating as hell to hear a coach say something like that. It's really bad. You know, again, we just need to do what we've always done, look at the things, and every team is not going to be like Golden State offensively, but look within ourselves and see how bad we want it. Like, those are nothing quotes from Darvin Ham. It's, you know, we think we're as competitive as I think we are, and then we really look within, yeah, it's a difficult situation, but it's not impossible. Like, dude, so bad. Not a great situation at all. But yeah, I mean, so if the players were, so let's think about it. You know, if, I mean, you know, history with LeBron bears this. Let's say Darvin Ham is fired. Let's say Phil Handy does take over. It would kind of echo the run of the Cavaliers when Ty Lue took over from David Blatt. David Blatt was an unqualified NBA head coach. He was certainly unqualified to coach a player the caliber of LeBron. It's not to say that David Blatt is a bad coach. He probably is a very good coach. I think to coach LeBron is one thing. I don't think, regardless of how good a coach you are, I don't think you can do it effectively if you don't
get his respect. And it seems as though while Darvin Ham may have had LeBron's respect at some point, it doesn't seem as though he has his respect now. And if that's the case, the Lakers do have to make a choice this offseason. It's LeBron or it's Darvin Ham. Now, at his age, Darvin Ham is a young coach, and LeBron is an old player. I understand that it's a difficult choice, but I think there's still a championship window for LeBron if you put the right pieces around him. Now, one of the things that has been talked about, as it's talked about every potential offseason, is what the Lakers might do in the offseason. Now, coaching problem aside, let's assume Darvin Ham stays for whatever reason. As every season tends to do, there is, you know, there are rumors in the offseason for what the Lakers might do. So we're hearing trades for Trae Young. We're hearing trades for Donovan Mitchell. There's a new one out that the Lakers might try to trade for Brandon Ingram back to the Lakers from the Pelicans. A lot of these trades that I'm seeing mocked up involve Austin Reeves. Now, if you follow this Instagram, now I know this Instagram isn't as active as it could be, and I certainly plan on trying to make this a much more active Instagram, but one thing that I've highlighted on this Instagram and one thing that I've highlighted in this podcast over and over again is the intelligence of Austin Reeves. And not just the intelligence of Austin Reeves, but the compatibility with LeBron James. And one of the things that I think LeBron needs at this point in his career is a smart player that he trusts. And the evidence, I think, is also there. You can take that from the Cavaliers' history. When LeBron is paired with smart basketball IQ players, LeBron needs two things. He needs his number two player to have a good basketball IQ. Now, Anthony Davis used to be a point guard in high school. He's a good passer out of the post. I think to play good defense takes a certain amount of intelligence. I think Anthony Davis is a very good basketball IQ player, and that's why I think he pairs well with LeBron James. Kyrie Irving was a great basketball IQ player with LeBron in Cleveland. It's the reason why they excelled so much. Kevin Love, extremely high basketball IQ. You don't get as many rebounds as Kevin Love gets. You don't make the kind of outlet passes that Kevin Love can make without being an intelligent basketball IQ player. LeBron does extremely well with high basketball IQ players. Anthony Davis, high basketball IQ. And I think Austin Reeves has demonstrated he is an extremely high basketball IQ. Aside from Austin Reeves' ability as a basketball player, one of the things that I constantly praise is his decision-making, which is a prime symptom of a high basketball IQ. The other thing LeBron needs, and I kind of think back to my time as a high school football player, and I think sports in general, I think you need some of this. I had a football coach in high school that would say, you need a couple of turds on your team. That's important for football. It's important for football to have those kind of less analytically minded players than the smarter analytic players. I think LeBron thrives off of players who desire to be led. J.R. Smith. And this is, now, I should clarify, I am by no means calling these players dumb. They're not dumb. They're players that need to be led. They're players that need to be guided because they just don't have as high a basketball IQ. But I think in order to play in this league, and one thing Mind the Game is demonstrating, that you can have all the talent in the world. If you can't understand the concepts and the lingo of NBA basketball, you're not going to succeed. And I think Michael Beasley is the perfect example of this. You hear from so many people who know basketball how talented Michael Beasley is, but never made it in the league. He didn't make it in the league because he doesn't have a high basketball IQ. He couldn't acclimate to what it takes to be in the league. And a guy like J.R. Smith had been in the league for a really long time. And he may not have the highest basketball IQ, but he is someone who's willing to be led. So the other thing that LeBron needs, like I said, is players that need to be led, like a J.R. Smith, like a Morris twin. I forget which one played with him in the Lakers. I forgot if it was Marcus or Markieff. I believe it was Markieff. You know, Mario Chalmers, Norris Cole. LeBron can get the most out of players who have that innate need to be led. Dwight Howard is a good example. JaVale McGee, great example. So this team doesn't really have that. This team has a little bit of that in Cam Reddish. But I think this Lakers team does have a lot of good high IQ players. I think, and Rui is a great example of somebody who needs to be led. Rui, I don't think if Rui's basketball IQ is very high, but he is a smart player in a certain extent. And so, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at. And D'Angelo Russell, not the highest IQ, but he plays at a tempo that I think matches well with LeBron. And you can actually get a sense of D'Angelo Russell playing smarter as of late. So if there were any trades this offseason to be made, I think Donovan Mitchell does kind of fit that mold, but I think it's important that the whole point of this part of the episode of the podcast is that regardless of any trades that happen for the Lakers this offseason, I think it is of the utmost importance that the Lakers hold on to Austin Reeves. Because LeBron needs high IQ players. And I would certainly put Austin Reeves up there as one of the highest IQ players that LeBron has ever played with. It's evident. I mean, just watch the way Austin plays. Watch the way Austin passes. The quick decisions he makes. I would put Austin up there. So Donovan Mitchell, I think, would be a good fit. I think he sort of fits in that mold of a player who he's got a high basketball IQ. He's not really somebody you need to lead. He's somebody who I think is primed to take over this team. Now, another thing that LeBron has demonstrated with his trust in Austin Reeves is LeBron is willing to take over when needed. I think LeBron is willing at this point. He's not going to say it publicly. I think LeBron at this point is willing to be a second banana on his team. Now, he's not going to be a second banana behind a guy like Austin Reeves, but he is going to be a second banana behind a guy like Anthony Davis or possibly Donovan Mitchell. Now, you know, another guy the Lakers might look at is Trae Young. Trae Young is another player. I think Trae Young is extremely smart to excel at the game the way he does at his size is pretty evident of his ability to play smart. So Trae Young, I think, would be a good player. And I think, any clutch player is somebody, I think, any player on the clutch roster is somebody that I think exhibits one of those two traits that I talked about. He's either a very smart, high IQ basketball player, and he or she, because Asia Wilson is in there with the WNBA, they're either a very smart, high basketball IQ player, or they're a very athletic, capable, sort of jello mold, if you will. They're, sort of not jello mold, like a lump of clay. They can be molded into an extremely great role player, under the right leadership that typically LeBron provides. So, you know, this offseason, I think you need to focus on shooters that can take veteran direction. And I don't necessarily know that that's been the priority of the last few off seasons. They had that experiment of just getting old names that were once great. And this is, I think, the trouble with Russell Westbrook. LeBron, I think, here's what I think really happened with Russell Westbrook. I don't think, maybe I've talked about this before. I don't know. I think in LeBron's mind, he knew of a way in which it could work with him and Russell and Anthony Davis. And I just don't think Russell Westbrook ever bought in. And, you know, whether that's good, whether that's bad, it was probably hard for Russell Westbrook to accept what he needed to do to most excel as a Laker with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I think when he got to the Clippers, he was more willing to accept that. And I think it's why he's a more impactful player as a Clipper, because as a Clipper now, he's bought into what it is that he needs to do. The things that Russell Westbrook is doing off the bench for the Clippers now, he wasn't willing to do as a Laker. And that's why it didn't work. So I'm kind of done blaming LeBron for the Westbrook thing. I think, for me, logically, I never liked the move because it didn't make a lot of sense. I think the potential for it to have made sense was there, and anything that didn't work, I think, is the fault of Russell Westbrook, and that's the end of it. So can a player like Donovan Mitchell do that? I think a player like Donovan Mitchell, one, I think is ready to take over the team, or at least, you know, have a partner like Anthony Davis. And two, I think LeBron is kind of ready to sort of take that step back. And, you know, I thought the plan this year was, and if Darvin Ham's rotations had been this way, I think if the Lakers had played smarter rotations and won 64% of their games, I think at this point you'd see LeBron resting a lot right now, preparing for the playoffs. And I think, and I even talked about this early in the season, that LeBron would sort of rest during the regular season so then he could then take over for the regular season. This would have allowed Max Christie to get more minutes. And I think Max Christie has earned more minutes. But yeah. So, you know, what is it that you guys think about the Darvin Ham situation? What do you think about any offseason trades the Lakers might do? Do you think Phil Handy is ready to be a head coach? Now, assuming a guy like Phil Handy, one, hires a capable staff, but two, ultimately gets the buy-in from LeBron James. I think Phil Handy could be ready in that scenario. But so let's take a look at what the Lakers have next. So we talked about the Lakers having, they have two games left in the season. I think one is on the road, one is at home. I know both are against the, they're both on the road. Luckily, it's not a back-to-back. They're playing at Memphis, and then they're playing at New Orleans. So assuming they win both of those games, they'll then be in the first round versus Denver. Will it be Denver? They'll be in the first round versus, oh yeah, they'll be in the first round versus Denver. So they may not be back at Staples Center for a while, which is a bummer, but that's the situation they put themselves in, according to Darvin Ham. It's going to do it for this episode of Ethos Lakers. You can follow the show at Ethos Lakers. You can follow the, there we go. I need to get better at pointing to this. You can follow the show at Ethos Lakers on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at JCDeLeon1. Yeah, until next time, hopefully the Lakers do go on a long run. Hopefully they surprise some people, but I'm not really counting on it. But until next time, we're out.